Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
iZotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on iZotope.com. Some of the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 Native Instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from iZotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using iZotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on iZotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the iZotope arsenal. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Brant, and joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello, dear listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. We've got lots of things to discuss. We're going to be talking to you about what's in our watch list. My watch list was pretty mundane this week, but Matt's got some very interesting stuff. Obviously, there have been some ridiculous news announcements this week. We are, of course, talking about Gibson. We want to talk about some other British guitar brands as well. We're going to be squeezing those in, and actually a British amp brand as well. And I guess we're keeping things quite British. Starting it off, Matt, I sent you a new pedal this week.
You did. You finally.
Well, finally.
Finally. you finally sent me this Reeves pedal. So I've got it here.
The Reeves Black Hat Fuzz.
Yeah, Reeves Electro. Yeah, I had to make sure I got that right. Reeves Electro. I'm sure most of you have heard of Reeves. He was most recently seen on that pedal show building a fuzz face, I think, for Mick and Dan. That's right, insanely cool guy and builder from the UK. We are, unfortunately, going to talk about a pedal that you can't actually buy anymore. But it's definitely worth talking about because we should talk about Marcus Reeves and the Reeves brand. So, yeah, you sent me the Black Hat Sounds. So this is, as description by the website, a point-to-point vintage fuzz, a variation on a 183 sound fuzz with external bias control using super rare T0106 TUN Black Hat transistors. all of that aside, it sounds bloody excellent.
Doesn't it? It is a fantastic fuzz. I've found it hard to top with anything else that I've tried, since the bias control certainly makes it incredibly versatile as well.
Yeah, basically. So the controls on, I mean, first of all, I would say it's insanely loud. I play at home and I turned it on and was like, it literally felt like it is going to blow my speakers up. So I was like, whoa, it's too super loud. And I had it cranked down relatively low. But the other control you've got is basically bias. The fuzz amount is fixed, but the bias control controls the gain, I guess, as it were. So when you've got the bias all the way down, it's kind of spluttery, it's kind of spitty, it's almost got that sort of maestro fuzz tone, very much like Rolling Stone Satisfaction. And then as you kind of crank it up, that's when you get into this like insane, like amazing mega fuzz. And I had it plugged in with my Strat, which, Joe, I've got to say, I've been playing the Strat, you know, the old Paisley Strat, a lot yesterday. And as I said last week, those bigger strings, that setup's made all the difference.
Well, I've seen you, you know, you've been putting out reels on Instagram playing different things.
My first reel on Instagram. I'm such an influencer. I'm so pro. And I was playing the Strat. I was playing along. I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to play along to some tunes. Like, I noodle around so much, I'm like, I've got to remember, because there's nothing better than jamming along to your favourite song. So I was like, put some Pink Floyd on, and it really nailed those, like, Gilmore, like, Dark Side of the Moon, or kind of, like, metal, like, Echoes type fuzz sounds. Right. And I just got lost in it for ages. It's just
one of those like infinite sustainy fuzzes, isn't
yeah
it?
it's thick, it's like really fat sounding, it responds really well to your picking dynamic as well as the volume control on your guitar. You know, I could kind of go from like a rhythm crunch to like a lead, almost like cleaning it up in places. You know, as they say, it's very pick sensitive and it really lets the guitar character come through. And it's just, yeah, it's got magic to it that I can't really put my finger on. I don't know much about electronics. I don't know much about these transistors. I do like it when people make cool, rare, limited fuzzes with limited parts in. And I think it's extremely cool. But yeah, ultimately, I was like, it looks cool. It's like a black, like rainbow sparkle, I guess you would say.
It's yeah, kind of got this kind of sparkle. It's hard to describe, isn't it?
But I just like the fact it's got that bias control on it. And the fact that bias control basically gives you every sort of fuzz tone there is.
That's it. It really, as that bias control goes around clockwise, it really opens everything up. So yeah, like the fuzz becomes much, much richer and I guess a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more full range. I loved having it down though. I love a spluttery fuzz. I think it sounds fantastic for that. And this one actually has a little bass switch as well, just adds back in a load of low end, which of course always gets sucked out of fuzzes a little bit. And it makes it great for bass guitars, actually, which is, you know, another reason that I loved it as well.
Yeah, and I think using it at home, I always like having that extra bass boost because you just, it kind of fattens out the sound when you're at lower volumes at home, which I really like. But it's just one of those ones where the only bad thing is the fact that there's too many good sounds on it. So it's just like, no matter where you set the control, you're like, oh, this is great, I could play this for ages. And then you like move it a bit and you're like, this is also great. And then you just wish that you had all of those. You had like six of them, just like different settings. But I've sort of done a bit of about 3 months ago, I pulled my big pedal board apart. I've got some things which I'll talk about in a few podcast time when everything's sort of wired up and good to go. But I was like, right, I've just got a BCB 90, which has got, you know, like 10 outputs on it. I'm just going to grab a couple of pedals and play around. So I had that. I had my Grouter Audio Vibe, which is just hands down, just one of the best, chewiest vibe sounds. And then my Electro-Harmonics Deluxe Memory Man. And I had those three pedals for about 4 hours.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And was just like, it's just the best. It was just the absolute best. And I think I also was messing around with the Cogmeister, the dinosaur Cogmeister, which is the tube tone bender, the 60s like germanium treble boost, and the kind of solo boost all in one. And was sort of playing around with that as well for a bit. And I was like, God, I just want all of these fuzzes on my pedal board because each one just sounds super unique. And it's just super fun to play. And we're somehow going to have to tell Marcus he can't have it back. I'll have to buy it off him. But yeah, I did open it up as well, which I think you're about to say there, Joe. But yeah,
It's incredible. It's like a work of art in the back of his pedals.
I know. And then I don't dare, like, if I owned it, I wouldn't dare, like, put, like, Velcro on it or something. It's just so perfect. I'm like, oh, it's... And you have to basically, for anyone obviously listening, if you're in front of a computer, reevselectro.co.uk, the Black Hat Sound, Color Sound Fuzz with Bias Control is what it's on there. But you just have to look at some of the shots and you just look at that. Well, there's a shot of the nice little Black Hat transistors, but you just have to look at the way it's wired inside and you go... Yeah, I can do that. It's just, it is like a work of art. You'd almost want, and there was a company that did this one, but you'd almost want a clear plastic back on it. So every now and then you could just pick it up and you could just admire it. It really is a work of art. And I would say to anyone, obviously, if we've sort of made you desperate to buy this, you can't. But you can have a look at his website. So he recently updated only a few days ago some of the September 2022 drops. So he reckons he's got some more fuzzes coming. I mean, he makes a lot of fuzzes, but like fuzz faces, lots of different ones that he's got on his website. So I think he's got quite a few descriptions of all my pedals. Yeah, I build in pedals of batches of 10 to 15 at a time. Pedals are out of stock until batches release. They sell really fast. Subscribe to my mailing list, and that's it. So, yeah, he's got a kind of medium gain fuzz, which is his take on a fuzz face, a Range Master style fuzz.
The Lux Master, which is the Range Master. That is that is very up my street, I think.
That's a very cool pedal. The Black Hat Sounds, which is a gated Mark I tone bender. I guess he might make more if he gets more of the transistors. Medium gain silicon tone Mark II tone bender with the red dot sound. 183 face, which is his medium gain fuzz face. The 183 sound, which is a one knob fuzz. And then he's got like a vintage folded steel wedge case, which is the deluxe version of the Black Hat Sounds, which has also got volume, fuzz, bias, tone, and mids. And then also a Black Hat Sounds Professional, which is a roto style case minus the fuzz control.
And that's the one you want, really, isn't it? Like, you want those, that big old tone bender case with the extra controls. £450 for the Black Hat Sound Professional, but
What a pedal. I think, did we talk about pedal prices last week? Were we talking about, like, someone have a question about...
We did, yeah.
There's a
right.
Patreon question
we were talking about what you'd be willing to spend on a... What's the average amount, I think? Or what are the price caps that you put on pedals? Yeah.
And I just said, whatever it takes. and actually, yeah, I mean, you look at the Black Cat Sound Professional and you just go, damn. It's just so good. Actually, interestingly, looking at the drops that he's got coming up, Black Cat Sounds BHSD. I don't know what that one is. Oh, that's the one in the wedge case. That's the deluxe version. The one below the professional, but the one up from the standard. If you're listening to this and you're interested, looks like he's got some arriving in September. So go on his website, join the Reeves Electro mailing list and be the first in line. You won't be disappointed. Definitely want some more of his pedals.
Yeah, they are so good. I mean, it's the only one I've sort of got to try firsthand. But I got Marcus sent me that pedal when I tried it. I loved it. Made a couple of reels for guitars. We talked about it actually a while ago, Matt.
We did.
When I was checking it out, and then I can't remember what it was like a couple of weeks. Obviously, I was talking to Marcus, and a couple of weeks later, I think Polymath were playing up in his neck of the woods. So he was like, "Oh, come and see your band." So he came and checked us out then, and we chatted more then. And at that show, I was like, "Oh, I'll get. I know I've had it for about a month. I'll get you that pedal back to you as soon as possible." And he was like, "No, just keep it until you've had a chance to really get to grips with it." And you know that was now about 4 or 5 months ago.
He's either forgotten or he hates us forever. I'm sure if he's listening to this, or if he's given up listening because of that. but yeah, it's amazing, and I think it's. I think it's great to see brands like this that, you know, just really passionate about what they do. They're not trying to make loads, just really passionate about fuzzes and, you know, components.
Yeah.
I could get excited about components, but I think I'd need to know a bit about electronics first, or at least a little bit more to understand it. But it's just sort of really, it's sort of sparked a thing in me where I'm like, right, I just need to buy loads of cool fuzz pedals. And I think that, you know, the interesting thing is, and I know there'll be a lot of discussion on this point, but people, you know, the thing that always comes up is like, oh, there's like $6 of components in there. I could make it for £20. And obviously people forget that, you know, people have to earn a living and, you know, some of these components are rare. I think even recently Analog Man said that they've been plagued by like fake components on some places. For I think they had to recall something like 150 Analog Man King of Tones because they were like, oh yeah, a bunch of the transistors we put in were actually fake, and we didn't realize, and they're getting like harder to spot but becoming more common. I mean, you've got to remember, like, some of these transistors are like 50 years old and have just like sat in people's drawers for ages. And you know, they ultimately were great for guitars, but crap for a lot of other things.
Yeah.
You just look at that and you go, they're so simple, but yet so much variation from those. I mean, I remember when Boss was doing the Tone Bender and they were talking about, you know, Ant McCurry was talking about like the original one's got like 8 components in it. But how you wire and what components you use make all the difference. And I think that's the cool thing about pedals, but also fuzz pedals specifically. There's a lot of great digital pedals, of course, and a lot of great analog pedals and, you know, people making, you know, really high quality stuff. But I also like these kind of really small runs, you know, using these kind of cool transistors and stuff. And that's where the price is. I mean, I'm looking at the Dan Drive Secret Weapon that I've got here, which has got some sort of hard to find components in it as well, and I'm like, oh, and then I've got some other things, so maybe I just need to move down the fuzz journey. But it's one of those things, I'm like, it sounded good no matter where you put it. It sounded good and you plugged it in and it sounded good, so you know, that's a win all round, really.
Yeah, I actually love that about vintage. I think it's something that applies specifically to fuzzes, this, you know, the that there are only a few ingredients to make that fuzz sound, but they have to be right. It's like single malt whiskey. You know, in single malt whiskey, there's only three ingredients. You can only use three ingredients if it's single malt. So it's only going to be the malted barley, the water, and the yeast. So creating the right flavor from those three ingredients is very, very difficult, which is why it takes, you know, a master craftsman to be able to do that. Whereas when you get a blend, it's easier because you can use an infinite amount of other whiskies in order to, you know, tailor a thing. And that's sort of like, I guess, digital pedals today, of being able to use different things to emulate something, to having to finely tune and create something from just those very few bits and bobs you get in something like the Reeves Electro Black Hat Fuzz, or or the Tone Benders that Boss did.
Yeah, it's a journey that I think can ultimately also become very uber nerdy.
Absolutely. But I the same, that I've been going through a real fuzz stage at the moment. Like, I was thinking about making some Guitar Nerds YouTube videos again. We've discussed that recently, but I was kind of working on doing sort of demo style things, but really for me, not for, like, you know, new products or anything like that, more for stuff that I'm like, these are some cool things. And I found myself, like, going through the fuzz pedals that I've got at the moment, the ones that have really made an impression on me. And it was things like the Solid Gold Effects, their Imperial Mark II fuzz.
Yeah.
With the faders and the contour control. I absolutely love that. The Pelator, the Pelican Noiseworks Pelator, just such a wonderful pedal that I'd forgotten about for years, but it's just it's just so good.
I think fuzz pedals, you can just have a lot of them, and they can all do different things. And and I think it feels better to have a lot of fuzz pedals than it does delay pedals in some ways.
Sure, for me
anyway.
Yeah, sure. I mean, with a delay pedal, for me, if I can get that sort of dark analog thing dealt with, that's kind of all I need to have, you know. So as long as I've got something that can sort of cut that particular way, that's all I need. Whereas you just get so many different flavors with fuzzes.
Absolutely. So hats off to Marcus Reeves
for a great
fuzz pedal.
Very good. I liked that. That was good. That was deliberate, right?
It was deliberate. Well, actually, when it came out of my mouth, it wasn't. And then I realized what I said, and then it was. So
I see.
It was a joke, almost too clever.
Right. It was actually, Matt, I had a bit of an NBD today, a new bass day.
Oh, nice. I had
a double new bass day.
Oh, dear.
Well, the thing is, I think we spoke about it a few weeks ago, but, you know, like, I've been working with Ash Down, prototyping some new basses.
Yes.
And we got all of the bases sent through, like four different models we were doing, various different color options and pickup options. So they sent us all of the prototypes, and we've chosen things that we're running with, basically. And some things they decided not to run with. And I was like, what are you going to do with these things that we're not running with? And one of the models we've decided not to do is the jazz bass, which is the Grail for Ashdown. I really sort of pushed for Ashdown to actually focus on their own original shapes a little bit more. They're not, you know, ridiculous shapes. They're still sort of Jaguar inspired, or Thunderbird, Firebird inspired, the shapes, but they have a bit more of their own thing going on. Whereas the Grail, which is the jazz, was just, you know, it was just another company doing another jazz bass. So we decided not to go ahead with that. And they obviously did like a sparkle pink and a sparkle metallic green, the Ford Capri green from the 70s. So I was like, well, what's happening with those? And they were like, oh yeah, well, you can have these. So they turned up today. I'm looking at them right now. My new metallic shell pink matching headstock jazz bass, and a little sort of olive metallic green jazz bass matching headstock.
Taking that out on tour, are we, Joe?
Well, it depends what happens. So, yeah, my tour starts something like 12th of November. Obviously, I need a couple of basses for that. This would be ideal. I could take both of them out. But my original idea was I wanted to take out my Fidelity and I wanted to take my Moore out. So they're, you know, two custom made things that are being built. But my Fidelity is still having its new neck cut. and I don't know when I'm going to get that. And the more was, again, like, you know, I've said about this on the podcast where I was like, I sort of placed the order for the more and then was like, forgot about it completely. And then, you know, 2 years later, they've been like, okay, ready to take the rest of that payment now. And I've been sort of like, oh damn. But they did contact me and were like, yeah, it's going to be done in August. I was like, oh God. So still stretched to get that paid and it's not done yet. So,
extension. I need another loan.
Luthiers, just never. I don't think I've ever met a luthier that has delivered an instrument to me when they've originally said they're going to deliver it. I don't mind; like, it's not a problem. But I think luthiers across the board should probably abandon telling people when they're going to provide the thing. So, if the Fidelity and the Moore turn up before November, then I'll take them out. Otherwise I'll take the two Jazzes. The Jazzes are almost maybe a safer bet because they'll be so similar. And also, right. they're just sort of affordable Chinese made jazz basses. Mm. I'm mindless if they get battered or stolen or anything like that. So
yeah. Yeah.
I also like the idea of playing a shell pink jazz bass in my sort of black suited, polymath.
I think black and pink are a great colour combo.
There you go.
So I think it would work quite well. Okay. Actually, one thing I was thinking as well when you were talking about those guitar, those bass, just thinking back to the fuzz all of a sudden, I just remembered, this is a random thought mid-podcast show, but that, what was that mini brand, that brand that we talked about that you saw at Guitar Summit that made those kind of smaller guitars that sort of look like an ES-175. Can you remember?
Grizz.
That's yeah. It. Did they make a bass? They didn't, did they?
Grizz. Unfortunately, sadly, no bass.
I think because that would be, you know, if you're looking for another new bass day next show, I think you should get one of those done.
Well, I think the number one thing for me on my basses that I haven't yet bought at the moment is probably something from Grez. I think they're sort of topping the bill for me at the moment as something that I'd want. Mm. You know, they did their Mendocino bass, which is fantastic, sort of, you know, Dan Electro DC-59 inspired double cut. But I really love some of the things that some of the podcast listeners have showed me that he's made, like big ES-175 style Grez basses. So I don't know. We'll see. That's probably next on my list. Been off for a while. I've got too much stuff at the moment. I need to be slimming down, not expanding my collection. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. But no, that's cool. Well, you've got a couple of new, you know, it's good to add a couple of, how many basses are you up to now, Joe?
Well, actually, I'm about to sell a bunch of them, and I'm giving Naomi my Bronco as well. So that will free up some space. But
so
I don't
she'll
know.
Have There's, two.
No, she'll have three. She's already got two. but I don't know. Probably 15 basses here, something like that. I know that these two jazz basses bring my jazz bass collection up to 8. I don't need 8 jazz basses, but you know, we'll.
You do. You know, there's no limit. I think, you know, it's what they say. It's what they say is the ideal is X plus one. Is that right?
That's
X
exactly
being it. The number of bases. And then, yeah. So, well, there you go. And then, you know, when you're bored of that, you can send me the pink one. So, you know.
Well, one thing I definitely won't be able to afford, even if I sell all of my jazz basses, is Gibson's new Murphy Lab Collector's Edition replica of Kirk Hammett's Greeny 1959 Les Paul Standard.
Yeah, you mean you haven't got $50,000?
$50,000.
Might I add, ex-tax. because that's what I always hate about America, when you buy stuff, you're like, oh, this is great, and then they're like, that's not why I asked, and they're like, oh, you have to add tax, sir. Yeah, so actually, firstly, shout out probably doesn't listen to the podcast, but I'm putting it out there anyway. You never know.
Kirk Hammett.
Kirk Hammett. What a guy. Actually, I would like to meet Kirk Hammett. I reckon he's all right. No, Trogley's Guitar Show on YouTube actually posted the video about this. I've been following a few of their videos. Interesting person. Basically buys and sells a lot of the most collectible guitars. I think he's like sort of like an official reseller for brands on Reverb, but also buys and sells a lot. Yeah, it's watch his video because he mentions it a little bit for listeners. Trogley's Guitar Show. He does a video every day as well on another guitar that's worth like crazy money. But yeah, he basically did a video on this. So Gibson sort of teased it. I think Cesar, the marketing guy on the board of directors, sort of teased this and then have announced it officially a few days ago. But yeah, Kirk Hammett, who bought the Peter Green Les Paul off, I don't know if he bought it off the Gary Moore estate, whoever owned it before. So the 59 Les Paul, owned by Peter Green, bought by Gary Moore, now owned by Kirk Hammett, has had the Murphy Lab treatment. They say the much anticipated and forensically detailed custom
forensic
shop
replicas. What a name, eh?
Of Kirk Hammett's 59 Les Paul. Of course, they're saying that the Murphy Lab is better than anything Murphy aged, and it's the ultimate. But what's interesting about this, and I think again, you know, for a more detailed look, go to the Trogley's YouTube channel. It is only available from their direct retail store in Nashville. So the Gibson Tone Garage, I think it's called. They're only making 50, and you can only buy it from the Nashville store. The interesting thing about the video that I watched is that this Trogley guy, he was like, oh, can I buy one? They said, no, it's only direct through the store and you can't resell it. He said, oh, well, can I buy it anyway to keep? And they said no. They banned him from buying it. And I would imagine that they are ultimately fishing for Gibson's biggest spenders globally. Because, yeah, you have to go to the Gibson store to buy it. As part of buying it, you also get and for legal reasons, this is not included in the price, but is included in purchase. You get a trip to you basically get a trip to Nashville to pick up the guitar, have dinner with Kirk Hammett,
he's got to go out for 50 dinners.
No, I'd imagine they'll be like, we'll organize one dinner. You get to stay at some fancy chain of restaurants called Soho House. There's one in Balham where I live, and they charge you like an annual subscription to just go to the pub. It's pointless. But yeah, you get a night out with Kirk Hammett, just dinner, not a full night out. He's not going to get hammered or anything.
He's not going to do a little dance for you.
You get a bunch of goodies. I think you get a certificate. You get a signed photo of Kirk Hammett, like all the things you'd expect. But I'd imagine that Gibson are going, well, if we sell them direct and they're 50 grand, and those 50 grand people have to come to Gibson, we know they've got 50 grand in their back pocket to spend on a Gibson. So anytime we do anything, we can just be like, do you want to buy this like mega expensive limited edition guitar? And don't get me wrong, if I was that person, I'd be like, yes, please.
Well, that was actually going to be my question. Would you buy this if you had, imagine this wasn't, I guess, imagine you had that money, or imagine that this was an affordable price. Do you think this was, that this is something that you'd be interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's ridiculous. 50 grand when there's people who can't even pay to keep their electricity on. Do you know what I mean? It's a disgusting thought. Realistically, it's a disgusting thought to go, I'm going to drop 50 grand on this.
Sure.
But I guess when you're a multi-millionaire, you probably...
Which will be the 50 people buying it, I guess. Which is a shame to see guitars become such a... to see guitars getting a little bit sort of class war-y here with an instrument.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This has got to be one of the most expensive new guitars out that any major manufacturers, you know, when we went to NAMM, or, you know, when you went to Guitar Summit, and there's like the boutique builder's room, and you've got these like Ritter guitars that are like $100,000, and they're like these big art pieces. Do you know what I mean? I think the interesting thing with this is it's like the probably the most iconic Les Paul that they could have ever done, and they have done it before, because the Collector's Choice number one was the Gary Moore one, and then it was it was the other guy that then sort of owned it. There was a bit of the relic one had to be called the Moore, but the non-relic one was something else. You know, it's one of the most iconic Les Pauls of all time. Kirk Hammett, I don't think he's done anything to it, but he has toured it all over the world. It's amazing that he owns it. Obviously, it's the closest you're ever going to get to owning that guitar. I would imagine Kirk Hammett's probably going to take this one out on tour now, you know, rather than the original.
I would have thought so.
And you know, I think for any serious guitar collector, it's an investment. There's only 50. You had to go to Nashville. You got all of this other stuff. And if you want to sell it, hey, there's only 50 and it costs 50 grand. You're going to get at least 50 grand back. You know, it's crazy that it's starting at more money than most vintage guitars. But then again, if you look at 59 Les Paul, that's £250,000. You know, so if you can't afford £250,000, but you can afford 50 grand, is this a better alternative? It's amazing, really. And it's,
I love the case, by the way, that they've got all the names. They've got Green, Moore, Hammett, but like Green is almost completely rubbed out. Moore is a little bit less, and the Hammett's fresh and new.
Thought that was a nice touch. You get, you know, some Kirk Hammett signature picks that cost you about 50p. I mean, I think the thing is here is that, I guess it's one of those things where Gibson could go, what do we want to charge?
Yeah.
I'm sure there must be some sort of like money in it for Kirk Hammett. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's not that greedy. So, you know, it's just a case of what do you want to charge? I mean, I saw those Game of Thrones Fender custom shops and a guitar shop at the weekend, still unsold.
Yeah, as they will remain.
You know, and they're like 28,000 euros each. And I think, you know, you do get brands doing that, but I think this, to do something so iconic.
Yeah.
It's kind of,
I have to say,
like,
it's made me think about, you know, getting something Murphy Lab or, you know, getting something Gibson Custom Shop and being okay with the sort of £5,000 price tag.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. It's it makes you realise, I guess it puts the other guitars into perspective. But I mean, interestingly, I spent a lot of the weekend playing my Huber. I tried to be like, no, I'm going to play guitar. I'm not going to play the Valentine. And I realized I remember just how good that guitar is. And you just like, you know, what you get for the money, although, you know, they are expensive. They're more boutique and in small numbers. And you think, actually, probably if one of those builders like Huber built this guitar, it probably wouldn't even be 50 grand then. You know, I think it is the name, the guitar. You know, I don't think anyone else could do this and charge that kind of money.
No.
Brazilian board, which is quite interesting. Ooh. Imagine that. You get to customs and they're like, sorry, sir.
Sorry, mate. We can send it through, but we've got to take this board off.
Yeah, just like plying it off. Yeah, I mean, it's a collector's piece, ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't it? It's not, you know, well, I don't know. I'm sure there's some people out there that are in these circles that are like, yeah, I'm going to play down the Dog and Duck and I am going to use my 50 grand, you know, Les Paul. But, you know, you'll buy it for 50 grand and it'll be worth probably 80 grand in about 2 years' time, because you'll list it and someone will go, God, I really want that. And it's worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, even just looking at it looks so good. It's made me really want a Gibson. Gibson website now.
Got to be the best looking Les Paul out there, in my opinion. It does look great.
I think you can't deny that. If you were going to buy another Gibson, what would you get from their current lineup?
Do you know what?
On the website.
I'm going to load up the Gibson website, because I was thinking about, and I mentioned that Grizz and the hollow body and then playing the Reeves. And I was like, you know what would be dead cool? Like some sort of big old, like 335.
Yes. That's what I'm looking at, Matt.
And I was reading an interesting article in, a guitar magazine this weekend, which was Guitarist, maybe. And there was an interview with Lee Bartram, who I've met before, nice guy. He's the marketing manager for Gibson in Europe. They were talking about the the 345.
Oh yeah,
Noel 345.
So,
the Noel,
oh, yeah,
the Noel Gallagher one, which again has gone through really similar treatment, really limited. So you know, I'd be tempted for another Gibson. So let me have a look at the ES-335 range on Gibson's website right now.
You can get the vintage burst, just a standard 335, $3,500. You know, you can get that in vintage burst, or I think they do it in the classic red, or they do it in black as well. They do it in ebony, they do it in red, but the vintage Sunburst for me is the one on a 335.
They've got loads on here, haven't they? Right, so just scrolling down really quickly, gonna pick out a couple. The Slim Harpo ES330 is very cool. The Lovell, I'm guessing that's the signature. It is a signature artist. The Lovell ES330. Love those 330s. Always wanted one. Big hollow body, P90s. Awesome. I would also be tempted by Trini Lopez, because I love the idea of the six in a line.
The headstock's wrong. Headstock. No,
I like the headstock.
I want my F holes to look like the letter F. I don't want these diamonds.
Yeah, interestingly, they've got a 335 P90, which has got the kind of Mickey Mouse ears, cream hardware. Ugh. Doesn't look right. Under the custom shop, I mean, 64 ES-335 in that cherry.
What price are they doing in the custom shop?
$6,000 from their website.
It's a lot. But when you consider that just the ordinary 335 is very, very good, and it's a cool $3,500.
Yeah, although I tell you, if money was no object, Joe, 59 ES-335 in vintage natural, ultra heavy aged. From the Murphy Lab. Damn, that guitar looks good. There's something about those aged Gibsons. They look wicked.
They're just so good. Yeah, absolutely.
But interestingly, if you go there, they've also got the mod collection. So rarities, exclusive, customized one-off and pre-played guitar mods, which reminded me, as part of that Gibson Greeny package, you also got a trip into the Gibson vault. So they were going to pull a bunch of stuff out from the Gibson vault. We've seen it already. I've seen it already anyway. Not all of it, some of it. But anyway, rarities exclusive. I'm sure these are things they've kind of gone, oh yeah, I forgot we had that. So if you go on there right now, there's a couple of things that are wicked. One of them is a 59 ES-355 reissue in deep grape. So it's kind of like a royal purple with, the traditional vintage yellow trim.
Where on their website are you seeing this?
Homepage.
Yeah.
Homepage. And then in the middle, I think it says Explore the Mod Collection. You've got a story about the Kirk Hammett Green Les Paul with a Gibson Mod Collection. Shop now.
Matt, that is a terrible colour.
It's a great colour. They've also got...
not a bad price.
No,
$6,200 for something that limited edition. What are we becoming, Matt?
The worst colour, by far the worst colour of all of that's on here. It's not Evening Sea. It's not Aquapellum.
Mint Chip Burst.
That has got to be one of the ugliest guitars I've ever seen.
The name says it all, dear listener.
It looks like I'll tell you what it looks like. And these are actually quite nice. You probably wouldn't have had one for a while, Joe, because you're vegan. It looks like a Wolves Viennetta, which is a very English thing, but it looks like a Wolves Mint Viennetta. Black and then mint chalk burst, I guess.
It makes Fender's Antigua instruments look extremely tasteful. Worst.
It's that colour that a hard-boiled egg goes between the yolk and the white. Yeah, they've got some weird stuff on here. They've got like a red sparkle Les Paul Junior with a Bigsby. They've also got what's the other one actually here that looked quite cool? I know you don't like the Trini Lopez, but they have got one in a blue sparkle, which does look.
I don't. The blue's wrong to me. It's like a navy, dear listener, which is not. It's not the right color. If it should be, if that was Pelham, I'd be like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that the what caught me in about going to this Gibson Mods collection is they've got a picture on there of a one pickup Flying V with the humbucker in the neck position,
Yes.
which I'm like, yes. but yeah,
that's
I think
a great ridiculous idea. Yeah, you know what Flying V players want? Neck pickups.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's interesting going on. So I haven't been on this website for ages, but if, you know,
so much good stuff.
Gibson Brands family obviously got Epiphone, because Boogie now, Maestro in terms of their pedals. You know, they're doing a lot more content. I think they've got an app now. They're doing vintage guitar restoration.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, they've got the Gibson store. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely makes me want a Murphy Lab, and it definitely makes me want to win the lottery, but there we go. Gibson Greeny. If you get one and you're a listener, I will happily be your plus one for the trip to Nashville.
Yes, yeah, well... Well, yeah, there is some pretty good stuff. I was looking at the 57 Les Paul Custom reissue, which the Les Paul Custom for me in black, you know, that lovely sort of off-white binding, gold hardware, gold pickups. Oh, obviously, it's like the Grecos that I was dealing with when I was doing that shop thing. I'm so into that. That for me is the ultimate Les Paul. $7,000. And this is probably because I've had so many Bernies and Grecos and Tokais come through and seen these amazing, like, vintage Japanese guitars. You know, I've taken them in for a few hundred pounds and sold them on for, you know, like between £500 and £800, depending on their condition. And all of them have been amazing. And then, you know, it's £7,000 for the closest Gibson. The Gibson is obviously the original, but the only Les Paul Custom that you can get from Gibson is £7,000. It's a big old chunk of money. Let's talk about an amp brand though, Matt, that would go very well with a Les Paul Custom.
I want to talk about
Hiwatt, because when I was at Guitar Summit, I just round the back from where the Ashdown stand was, sort of almost sharing that back wall, was Hiwatt. Two fellows working in there, Tom from their custom shop and Arv from the marketing team behind Hiwatt. And I guess Hiwatt had sort of fallen off the radar for me a little bit as a brand, because I think I don't really know the ins and outs of the details of what happened with Hiwatt, but very much I think the branding or the name had been sold into various different places. It wasn't very united. You could get some Hiwatt stuff, but it was either this tiny little custom shop or you were getting this like digital sort of Chinese import stuff that had Hiwatt slapped on the front. So that brand had sort of fallen away. And the stuff that they had there was all amazing. And that got me to like talking to them a lot, checking out the Hiwatt website. And really, like, you know, the great thing was that, you know, Arv and Tom were able to talk to me about the brand and how it's actually really united again now. And Hiwatt are really coming back. They're really on the front foot. The range is getting bigger. They've got kind of stuff for every price point. They're still focusing on that core British custom shop. And, you know, their incredible range of, like, you know, the super high output DR amps, which I guess are kind of the series that they're most known for. They're still doing those, but they're trying to make price accessible valve stuff as well. So I wanted to talk to you, dear listener, about all the stuff on their website, or a bunch of stuff that I thought was amazing. Something I've been trying. I'm trying to get them to actually. Well, they have said they'll send me one down. Their custom UK custom built filter fuzz, which is a hand wired 60s style gain machine with an expressive filter and EQ. It is the biggest pedal I've ever seen. The chassis was incredible. From watching demos of it, it looks like it sounds absolutely amazing. £333. which, you know, it's a high watt custom shop, less than a Reeves Electro. So, you know, reasonable in that sense. But they've got some great stuff. Obviously, the DR series, you know, that's the bread and butter. They've got those Fane speakers that I guess high watt are really well known for being, being a combination with. And you can still get their custom 100, the custom 15. You can get that as a combo. The custom high watt 200, which whilst it is a guitar amp, works fantastically as a bass amp. And they actually do all of their amps, I guess, are always sold as like, this is guitar, bass and keyboard. And they still stick to that. It's, you know, their amps do all of those things. And they do some great cabinets, like even on the bass cabinets. One of the things that they had at the show was a custom shop cab, which was looks like an 810, but if you take away the grill cloth, it's a 410 and a 15 all packed in together.
Nice.
Very, very cool. But the Tube series for me was the thing that really actually stood out. Yeah, it's not made in their, you know, UK custom shop, but not that that should be something that, you know, no one thinks twice about wherever Fender amps are made these days. But they have like a whole range. Their 5-watt 110 combo I thought was absolutely fantastic and actually sounded great. But for me, the thing that really stood out was their T20 10C combo, which is their 20-watt switchable to 10 10-watt combo with a proper spring reverb in there, with one of their Octopulse speakers. So you're still kind of getting all that classic high headroom, surprisingly high headroom for the sort of wattage that this amp is putting out, sound from a high watt. You're getting a great spring reverb in there, those fantastic high watt looks, and they're like £749. Why isn't everyone buying them? Like, it feels like they should just be everywhere with prices like that and sound quality like they're turning out at the moment. But
yeah, it's you know, high watt. I've actually owned a high watt, and it was one of two experiences with high watts. One that I owned, and I've regretted selling it ever since I sold it. And also, I sold an original high watt DR100. Is that the 105 DR100, which is basically the one that Gilmore had, one of the original 70s ones. We've talked about it on the podcast before. Sold it to a guy named Chris from a wicked band from Brighton called Enos. They were a themed band, I guess you would say, about a monkey that went to space, and they were wicked, and I thought they were great band. Basically, a custom DR103, that's it, 100-watt head, which they still make now in the UK custom shop. Just amazing, super loud, loads of clean headroom. We also had one secondhand for a while from the 70s, which was very much like the Pete Townsend Live at Leeds, classic high watt. The great thing about these is that all of the, I don't know what you call this particular type of EQ, but effectively, if you turn down bass, middle and treble all the way to zero, you get no volume. So you look at bass, middle, treble, presence and volume all as volume controls. So it's like a volume for bass and a volume for treble, rather than like an active EQ that cuts or boosts, I guess you would say.
Right.
I think it's the difference between a British tone stack and an American tone stack, but I couldn't tell you any more details than that. But the one that I owned and I have missed dearly for so long, they never come up for sale. I had a custom 20, and that was just the best pedal platform. It was a time when I was bouncing between Dr. Z and a bunch of other ones and trying to find the best pedal platform. And I had this, and I don't know why I sold it. Probably at that point when I was working at GAC and I was buying and trading stuff all the time just to buy other stuff, because you're like, oh, I've got to own this and I've got to own this, and trying to make it work. And by far just one of the best pedal platform amps I've ever had. It is effectively master, middle, treble, bass and gain, and you have a high input and a low input, and just plug a few pedals in and away you go. I mean, you can overdrive it if you really crank it, but at normal volumes, that 20 watt is it's just spectacular. And there's something about it that just they look dead cool.
They do.
So yeah. Cool.
They are incredible. And yes, I mean, the DR, like the DR-103 is now $3,500 for the, so that, you know, they're, it's very much premiumly priced if you want to get, you know, one of their big proper things. But yeah, there isn't really anything that sounds like them.
No, and I mean, you know, again, they're expensive, but, you know, they're UK custom shop. They're building them in small runs. It's not like there's thousands and thousands of them out there. I would be, yeah, if I had the money, I would seriously be tempted, unless they're listening to this and really want to do me an amazing deal. But the custom Hiwatt 20 is, I would say, the best to go to. The 100 is great if you can crank 100 and you really need to put 100 through a 412. But yeah, for the Gilmore sound, for everything, just so good. It says here, yeah, original Partridge spec English transformers, meticulously hand-wired to Harry Joyce's exacting military standards, proudly manufactured in the Hiwatt custom shops. I'm guessing in the UK. Yeah, like I said, I don't know too
in
much.
Doncaster, my friend, I believe.
Doncaster. Yes, I think it is. I don't know too much about their history. But yeah, it looks like they're obviously made in the UK, or at least the custom shop ones are. And, you know, seems to be a lot of people talking about them and raving about them. And she said maybe they're a bit more unified now. I think for anyone looking for... I nearly bought one of these, actually. They did a limited edition. It came up on Reverb, and I was like, shall I buy one of these? Not made in the UK. I don't think they were. Maybe they were. They did a valve amp, and they still make a valve amp called the High Five, which
yeah,
is their
5-watt
one. But they did a limited edition one for 420, called the High Five. As in
you're
super
I
high.
Understand.
And yeah, it was all green Tolex, and I was like, should I buy that? That's pretty cool. But ultimately those sort of amps, they are okay for clean, but ultimately
it's a 5-watt amp.
If they're 5 watts, you know, crank them and use them at home basically.
And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It's almost, that's not really what you buy a high watt for, is it? You buy it for the headroom, so I guess the 5-watt amp is almost maybe not the heart of Hiwatt sound, even though it's, you know, in its own right a perfectly good sounding amp. They do a whole range of tube, like 12AX7 run effects pedals as well.
Yeah, they've made those. They have made those for a while because I've seen those.
I've never seen them until I'm looking at their website.
I've seen them around, not in many dealers, but I've seen them around and online. But this custom filter fuzz is relatively new to me, but it looks like it maybe came out earlier this year.
Potentially. Yeah, first time I saw it was obviously at the first time I'd seen a lot of Hiwatt stuff really in real life was at Guitar Summit. But I'm going to see if I can get them to send us one for us to check out for a little bit, Matt, because I am obviously, we were both on a bit of a fuzz sort of roll at the moment, and this seems like it could be something really quite awesome.
Indeed.
We'll see. Now we are coming towards the end of this week's podcast, so I do want to talk about what's in our watch list before we move on and choose a question for this week's Patreon episode. Matt, you definitely have something. I'm looking at what both of us have presented in the document for what's in our watch list. Mine is very, very average, and yours seems far more interesting.
Yes. Let's talk about the 80s, Joe. It was a time of great excess, and where traditional guitar design threw out the window, the Strat was boring. So people are probably relatively familiar with the kind of, everyone would have seen it, but the Roland guitar that came out, the G707 that came out from Roland in the 80s, which is the kind of triangle-shaped guitar with the big horn that attaches to the body all the way to the headstock, and it's got loads of knobs and buttons and stuff on it. And that was the kind of third guitar in the Roland synth guitar range, the first two being sort of Greco-Roland guitars, a little bit more traditional double cut style instruments. And then this was a new era, the 80s. And this guitar came with, or you bought it with the GR700 floor controller, which was basically a Roland JX 3P in a floor based unit. And like the modern synth guitars of today that use a GK pickup, these guitars had GK pickups built in with the Roland proprietary pickup system, which is all well and good. And they were expensive. And, you know, a few people use them. Jimmy Page, Andy Summers.
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page. This is a great, the best picture ever is Jimmy Page smoking a cigarette playing his 707 and the 700. But yeah, at the time, it was basically Roland's proprietary guitar synth system.
Sure, yeah.
It used a 24-pin pickup and cable. But at the time, Ibanez decided to basically make a guitar that interfaced with it. So in 1986, and I've never seen one until I watched one on Reverb this week, the Ibanez Crossing.
Zing.
Zing X. Hyphen ING, so I'm guessing they call it the Crossing. IMG 2010, they call it MIDI. It's always, people go, oh, it's got a MIDI pickup on it. No, it doesn't. They're normal pickups that transfer analog signal to digital. The pickups themselves are completely analog. But effectively, it has that Roland interface system in it, but it was designed by Ibanez. And it was the only other guitar that came out at the time. Wow. Also comes with their MC1 MIDI controller. So this was their attempt at kind of...
It's like a 2U rack controller for MIDI. Yeah. It's massive.
And that had, I believe, had all the synth sounds in it, but it also interfaced with all of the Roland. So this kind of looks a bit like a Squire Katana. It looks a bit like a Gibson Modern.
It's a bit Ned Steinberger.
Yeah, it's a bit Steinberger. It's got Kayla-style trem on it, obviously all locking.
And I love that it's only three saddles, by the way.
I know.
all this modern stuff, and then it's like, yeah, three saddles.
And then... yeah, and then on the bridge, technology for the future of music. Ibanez made it. I mean, they do actually call it a MIDI electronic guitar system, which is weird because the pickup itself is not MIDI, but I guess the thing you're plugging into is sort of MIDI. But yeah, ultimately, a very cool instrument that totally failed and was never seen again. But very cool, £2,499 yep. from a rather interesting, and I think I've actually met this person because I've sold him some bits before, Essex Recording Studios on Instagram. I think the guy was previously he is an American, sort of residing half in the UK, half in England, runs a studio in England, which is part charity. But all of the stuff he's listing is like insane. So it's worth checking him out. But yeah, he has some insane gear on his Reverb page, Essex Recording Studios.
Wow.
And if you really fancy it, there you've got an Ibanez Crossing MIDI electric guitar from 1986.
I love it. I love that in the description for it, it says, calling all Stranger Things fans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, capitalize on what's popular.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, what a ridiculous and super cool guitar. Matt, we should choose a question for this week. Now, last week... I've successfully managed to delete it from actually this week's document that we've got. So I'll bring up last week's document. But we were going to continue a question that we never quite got round to about Firebirds.
Yes.
In next one. Nearly there to find out who actually asked it. Ah, right. Okay. It was Peter Pesher who'd said, hey, nerds, he needs some help having a serious bout of firebirditis. And he doesn't know where it came from, but it is his current craving. So he's thinking about different models, and we're going to make a few suggestions. I think, Matt, you have a few suggestions for him there. And then also, I asked for more questions, and it's been great this week, actually. I need to make note of all these questions, because we've had some brilliant ones. But I think, and don't forget, we will, of course, you know, send out, we send out picks to whoever's question we've chosen. I'm actually already sent out some picks to John Bikes. We picked one of his questions before, but he asked great questions, and he's asked, with international purchases now seriously rising in cost, what British brands should nerds be looking for? Apologies to everyone who's not British on that, but actually, I mean, to be honest, it would be cheaper for you guys to buy British stuff now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now the pound's in the toilet, so let's talk about that. So we might talk about some companies to look out for. There are a bunch of other great questions, but we'll see where we get to with those first two before we move on. But yes, that is all the time we have on this week's episode. Join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You get this whole extra episode that we're going to go and do. There are three tiers that you can support us at. There's a dollar tier. It means you get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you all of our back catalogue. $10 means I'll mention your name in the song at the end. Find us on all your favorite social media platforms. Join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Check out our reels on Instagram for little mini demos. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Shabu ke la baka bu ji wo. Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.